Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest episode of the Footmarks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Jared Kimber, who you can find literally everywhere. And the title for this particular episode of the Footmarks podcast is The Other ICC Trophy. And no points for guessing, it's on the Champions Trophy. And Jared, before we even get into everything, I want to talk about the inconsistencies of this event. It's gone through a few rebrands, format changes. It's been cancelled multiple times, brought back to life, then cancelled again. And now we're currently in between one, right? So there is no regular cadence between editions either. Sometimes it's 2 years, sometimes it's four, sometimes it's eight. It's like the ICC's illegitimate child, which it doesn't really give a fuck about, but also loves deep down.
Yeah, as long as you're not going to compare it to Jon Snow from Game of Thrones, because I don't think it's ever been that popular, has it? Yeah, when people go, oh, I really like the Champions Trophy, where are those people when it disappears for 8 years, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't get them as much. And when it comes back up, everyone's excited. Of course we're excited. We get to see the best teams in the world playing, and we would be excited if they put together a random World Cup. But we have to be honest here, and I think what you said was, you know, the best way of looking at it, which is, sometimes there's a two-year gap and sometimes there's an eight-year gap. Like, you know, how to say she's just not that into you, right? Like, my God.
Absolutely. And they didn't even bother with the seedings, right? This is not the first time they've done that. Even in the initial tournaments, they didn't bother with the seedings. And like, a team like the West Indies, which even has a rich Champions Trophy heritage, didn't even have a shot at qualification this time around, right? We didn't even know this tournament was going to happen up until recently.
Yes. And you can see from the preparation of all the teams that no one was really ready for this thing to happen at all. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a problem with doing it off seedings, per se. But it does seem a little bit random to sort of, like it was, what, late 2023, suddenly teams were told that this was going to happen, unless I'm misremembering the dates. I just thought the whole thing was really, the whole thing was weird. And, you know, you watch these teams preparing. Also, there's been conversations behind the scenes about whether this will end up being a T20 tournament at certain times, right? So you can see how some teams were thinking eventually that would happen. So the whole thing's been bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, the first edition of the Champions Trophy back in 1998, when it was originally called the Wills International Cup, I love how cigarettes were sponsoring everything back in the day, right? And the purpose was for this tournament, for it to generate income between World Cups by hosting it, right? And there was also an intention to grow the game beyond test-playing nations. And I find it rather ironic that it's evolved into this tournament, which is only played by like eight ODI teams, which are supposedly the top eight teams, right?
Yeah. No, exactly. So, you know, the original thought was play it in Kenya. I think the original tournament was played in Bangladesh, but they were thinking about playing it in Florida at one stage as well. So Kenya, Bangladesh, Florida, growing the game. You had teams like the Netherlands, USA, I'm trying to think, Canada, I think, played 1 year perhaps as well. Mm. You know, so some really, obviously Kenya and Bangladesh, although Bangladesh don't play in the first one, if I remember correctly.
Weirdly
they don't play
enough
in their own tournament.
Yeah, they go out saying that we want to grow the game and we're hosting it in Bangladesh, but associates only come into the picture in the 2000 edition, and that was rebranded to the ICC Knockout Cup, right? And then there was also this round called the pre-quarterfinals, was it, in that tournament?
Yeah, we will go out of our way in cricket to invent the name of something just so we don't have to let other people play in it. So
why not call it the round of whatever number is playing? Why call it the pre-quarterfinals, though?
I mean, it's a bizarre thing. So I think if you have a look at the original idea, we had a World Cup every 4 years and they were getting popular, right? And it isn't really till the mid-90s that sort of global cricket starts to explode, right? Like 83 is the first big World Cup. 92 is the first global World Cup. 96 is huge. So you can understand why they were trying to cash in on that. And in those days, we only had one other format that we had an ICC trophy for. And we had a big break in between. The Champions Trophy made sense. Right. And also, I think it probably, I would have thought it always would have made more sense to have more teams at the World Cup and less teams at the Champions Trophy. Right.
Hmm.
Just from the point of view of the World Cup is where you want all these associate teams coming in and everything. And the Champions Trophy is probably where you just want to do a cheaper tournament, bring all the best teams in, make your money. And then, as you said, you can still host it in these other places as their original plan was. And then over time, what happens is this weird amalgamation of the two where, like, you've got an 8-team Champions Trophy being played a few months out from a 10-team World Cup. And at that stage, you're like, what are we even doing here?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I'll actually challenge you over there because the first two editions were knockout tournaments, if I'm not wrong. And the second one, of course, did feature associate nations and they were held in Bangladesh and Kenya, right? Mm. I feel that it was probably a good idea to keep doing it that way. And if anything, you know, how you mentioned ODI cricket was the other format back in the day and it was lucrative. And with the advent of T20 cricket, they could potentially have evolved this into a T20 knockout cup of sorts. And then you could gradually continue to add teams to it. Maybe at some point you could even have a 32-team knockout, right? Because the idea originally was to grow the game and I thought that was a noble idea.
So the problem with that is I don't think they can ever do that. And I think there's a reason you don't see that in international sports is there's no real reason to fly a team somewhere for potentially one game. Hmm. So your vision, I get, but I don't think you can do that. Whereas I think if you look at Sri Lanka, Ireland, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, they all got test playing status off the back of being in World Cups. Hmm. If you put them in the Champions Trophy, I don't think it has the same pop because not as many people watch and there isn't as much buzz. So I'd rather have the bigger teams playing in the Champions Trophy. But your T20 point is valid. And that's why it's kind of a bit weird that here we are. Let's be honest, the only reason there isn't a T20 World Cup, a T20 Champions Trophy at the moment is we have a T20 World Cup every 5 minutes. And that's also what they did with the Champions Trophy, right, originally. 96, there was a World Cup. 98, there was a Champions Trophy. 99, there was a World Cup. 2000, there was a Champions Trophy. 2002, there was a Champions Trophy. 2003, there was a World Cup. 2004, I mean, stop me if you're getting the point here. And they completely over-indexed on it. And then we get to the opposite side where no one likes this thing anymore. So they just start canceling it over and over again. And then randomly bring it back as well. So they can't even make a decision on that.
I suppose another caveat with the knockout format would be that they would have to sweat over whether or not India and Pakistan would play each other, because we all know that the fixtures are fixed clearly.
Play them in the first round. Somehow India is ranked number one and Pakistan's ranked 32. We don't know how that happened, but here we are.
Yeah, but like they would potentially miss out on that game. But it's interesting, right? Because fixture fixing is not new, and the Champions Trophy gives us some sort of precedence for it as well, because New Zealand and Zimbabwe played a preliminary round in the first tournament, right? And they shouldn't have. I think England should have or something like that. So this was always sort of like the intentions were under the table, always sort of commercial.
Yeah, it's very interesting, actually, because there's a few things when you go back on the history of cricket that Australia and England were involved with, like the whole veto thing. Yeah. And I know that, you know, someone like Gideon Haig will say, well, they never used the veto. Yes, they had a veto at ICC meetings, but it wasn't used. Hmm. Whereas the other boards will say, yeah, but why did they have a veto? Like, what was more special about them to cricket than, you know, the rest of us, right? And then you come to this, and you, right at the moment, we are hearing people quite rightfully moan about where India is playing and that they know where the semifinal is. And we had the last World Cup where a similar kind of thing happened. Yeah. I have no problem with that. But that's why you need to know about cricket history. You need to know that these precedents were set in the mid-90s when similar things were done. And England should have been in the qualifying game against Zimbabwe. But instead, poor New Zealand, who were just shunted out so that they had to play. And then they almost lost. Chris Harris had to play one of the great ODI innings of the mid-90s to get them back into the actual Champions Trophy. And so we've always done that in cricket. We've always fixed the fixtures and we've always, you know, done things that we shouldn't do before. What we're doing now with India has been done before. You get what you sow.
Yeah, and it's interesting how there was another kind of gap in that very first Champions Trophy game or Will's International Cup game where New Zealand nearly got knocked out by Zimbabwe. And I think they chased, 40 runs in 3 overs in 98? Which is crazy, right? Like, that is still tough even today. Go through this for me once again, because I reckon someone else, I think Chris Harris deserved that Player of the Match award, but they ended up giving it to Stephen Fleming. So that was probably from the very get-go, the first instance of randomness in this tournament.
Yeah, I think things like that happen at the World Cup. Obviously, we've got the famous World Cup being played in the dark in 2007, but there's something a little bit more unprofessional about the Champions Trophy. And so someone passes Ravi Shastri a note and he can't read the handwriting of who the player of the game is. And he probably just went Stephen Fleming because Stephen Fleming had made the most runs. And so you've got a team who shouldn't have been in the qualifier. You've also got the fact that the whole thing's weird anyway, that Zimbabwe and New Zealand were the only two teams that had to qualify for that event and everyone else was in it. Like, that's random, right? Hmm. And then you have the first ever game in the Champions Trophy, the wrong player getting the Player of the Match award because someone's written the notes down. That kind of set the precedent for what the Champions Trophy is today.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, on the bright side, each edition of the Champions Trophy, as it continued to change names and everything, you know, the revenue generation kept increasing with every next event. But the randomness never ended. We've all spoken about on multiple Crick Picks podcasts how the most random as fuck South African team won the first edition, and that is still, to date, their only ICC trophy in that cabinet, right? And then a slightly less random New Zealand team won it in 2000. Just slightly, right? Shane O'Connor reference, for those of you who don't understand. Go watch the Crick Picks. And then my favorite one is the 2002 edition, right? The title was shared between India and Sri Lanka, and I know Estelle loves this one, because the final got rained out after the first innings. Sri Lanka batted, India played like two overs or something, and that got rained out. And then they had a reserve day, but they chose to replay the entire game. And then there's another first innings, and then the second inning starts, and it's rained out again. So 110 overs, no result.
The rain breaks for almost exactly the same time on both days. Like, it's...
Wow.
It's so ridiculous. But as you said, they played 110 overs and we don't know who the winner is. And it tells you everything. This used to be my big point with the Champions Trophy, when... Because there were a few people back in the day that would take it quite seriously. I think from 2017 to now, it's been hard to take it seriously because I would say this is a ridiculous tournament. No one really cares about it. And everyone would be like, oh, yes, they do.
Also, they took ODI cricket more seriously back in that day, right?
Yeah. But I'm saying, I'm talking about people in the 2000s, right? Sorry, 2010s, right? The teens. And people would take it really, really seriously. And I'd be like, no one takes this tournament seriously. The players don't take it that seriously. The organization doesn't take that seriously. And until the gap between 2017 and 2025 was the one where everyone was like, oh, okay. But when you would say to people, wait a minute, what do you think about the 2002 edition? Where they couldn't even have a winner of this tournament and they just gave up and gave it to both of them. Like, it is one of the more pointless things that we've ever done in cricket.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of a single tournament, ICC event at least, where the trophy was shared in cricket. Even though we were close in 2003, I suppose, the World Cup final had a rain scare. You were there, right? Weren't you? But it never ended up raining, I think, over there. Weirdly enough, India have actually never won this tournament when they've played 50 overs in the final. Because the first time they won it when the trophy was shared, and the second time there was a rain-reduced game, so it ultimately became a T20. And then England, I remember, completely botched that chase. They were leading and then they somehow lost.
There is two top moments in history when England has completely stuffed up. I mean, if you want to throw in the 2017 edition as well, when they at the very least should have made the final. They've had three pretty good chances to win the Champions Trophy over the years and have found very entertaining ways to go out. But playing a T20 game in the rain in Birmingham was a personal highlight. Was it Birmingham? I know I was at that game. I think it was Birmingham. Or was it at Lords?
Yeah.
Wasn't I was at the game anyway. I can't remember where I was.
I reckon Ravi Bopara did well, but I'd really have to jog my memory for that one. Right?
I think it was Bopara and Morgan that Ishant Sharma got out, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. But, you know, the whole pretense of growing the game via this tournament in the midst of making more money, of course, it kind of fell apart because 2002 onwards, they didn't really care as much about growing the game. It was rebranded finally to the ICC Champions Trophy from like Wills International Cup to ICC Knockout Cup to finally ICC Champions Trophy.
Yeah.
And then India was supposed to host this event, but there was some tax breaks that they weren't ready to give the Indian government. So Sri Lanka ends up hosting it. And the knockout element was dropped as well. So again, so fucking random, right?
And that is why Australia decided to drop Shane Keith-Warne. Cricket is a game of strategy, of picking the right players for the right moment, or playing the right shots at the right ball. And Hit Wicket captures that perfectly. In Hit Wicket, you're not just picking a team, you're collecting cricket legends, expanding your squad with each new addition. The more players you have, the more options you have to dominate in any situation. And then comes the real challenge, picking your playing 11. Who are your opener, run machine, and Mr. 360? Do you stack your top order with aggressive batters, or do you build a solid foundation? And what about your bowling attack? Do you go with pace, spin, a mixture of both? We've got the Tasmanian Devil, Jimmy, and Boom. The possibility opportunities are endless. The beauty of Hit Wicket is that you need to adapt your lineup to your opponent. They can be powerful, balanced, and technical. Each class has an edge over another. It's a tactical dance where you need to anticipate your opponent's moves and exploit their weaknesses. So if you think you've got the strategic mind to build a championship team, download Hit Wicket and prove it. I think that's one of the other things that's worth remembering. And this is something that I know normal cricket fans, but when they're defending the Champions Trophy, it's like, guys, you have an event that no one wants to host. That tells you how unimportant it is, right? Like, it's come to a point where when England had the two tournaments back-to-back in 2013 and 2017, so I got so many comments on social media going, oh, this is just England trying to reclaim the game again. It was like, no, this is no one else wanting to host this event. And England at that stage were desperate to host as many things as they could. And, you know, they were trying to do a carve up with Australia and England, India, of course, at that point, and get as much as they could. That's the kind of tournament it's been. To think that India, of all places, would go, no, we're not going to help out to host this event, just tells you where it kind of fits in, right? It's so low down. It's the Commonwealth Games of cricket.
It's also one of the... I mean, it's part of the Champions Trophy brand that it's very likely that the tournament will be hosted elsewhere, because we saw it in 2002, was supposed to be in India, but Sri Lanka hosted it. In 2009, it was supposed to be in Pakistan, but it was hosted by South Africa. And the current one, right, it was supposed to be hosted in Pakistan entirely, but UAE are co-hosts. So that's also a Champions Trophy thing.
And 98 was supposed to be in Florida and somewhere else, think, as well. So you go through, it really tells you the difference. What teams really fight tooth and nail to get World Cups, right? And I remember talking to people from the ICC around 2012-ish. They were just like, England might do, they didn't know. I think at that stage, they thought 2013 would be the last one. But they were basically saying, if we keep doing the Champions Trophy, they might all be in England for a couple of reasons. One is that England, because it is the mother country, right? It has representatives of all the different fan bases that go to games. But the other is that England wanted to host it. They wanted that event. And every other country was like, do we have to? In fact, I think there's an old story, and I think it might have been the BCCI, and this is a long time back, basically going, if you want us to host it, you have to pay us a decent amount, right? Which is not generally how hosting used to go. It used to be that, like the Olympics, you would be the one who would put in all the money. That's not even how the World Cups work anymore. You do actually get hosting fees, which makes a lot more sense, because you put the money into development of stadiums and fan experiences more than anything else. But it does show you just how sort of bizarre and random this all is, if that's the situation that we're in, right? Of the countries themselves aren't that interested in it.
One of the events or tournaments which I remember countries were really interested in winning it, Australia in particular, was 2006, because that was a great Australian team, one of the best teams we've ever seen. And they hadn't won the Champions Trophy yet. And they went into that saying that we got to win this one now, right? And then they did win that. But there was some other controversy during the awards ceremony where they were trying to push Sharad Pawar off the podium. And then that kind of blew up into something extreme, and it was all over the newspapers. Like, just very on brand with the Champions Trophy, wasn't it?
Yes, it's Damien Martin, I think, was the one, wasn't it? I think if you go back and have a look at the footage, at that stage, you know, the Australians were trying to celebrate. You had an old man who was lost on the stage, but there's a way of doing it, and they did do it correctly. And it's as India's might is coming up, right? Like,
yeah.
It's as the political power and everything is starting to come into cricket. And if you go back, Damien, like, if that was your grandfather, you'd be like, just help him off the stage. You guys, we get it. You won this tournament. But so, it did cause issues. And I remember, because I started blogging about a year after that, and Indian fans, a lot of them, it was just like, you guys are taking the push more seriously than we did the win. Like Australians didn't really notice that they'd won that tournament and weren't all that interested in it at all. But you're right, the Australian team was a little bit different just because it was the thing they hadn't won. And I think also, to be fair, they knew that they weren't trying particularly hard at that point.
That's always the case with Australia, right? Every time they actually start putting in an effort, they somehow manage to win the goddamn tournament. But I remember back in 2006, I was actually pretty excited for that tournament, right? For multiple reasons. I had enjoyed the 2004 edition a lot. And B, Bob Woolmer had actually transformed the Pakistan ODI team. And then in complete Pakistan fashion, I remember the Daryl Hare thing happened. So Inzi was fighting this case with Daryl Hare and won at last moment. And still, I think he did get to play a game or two in that Champions Trophy, if I can recall. And also, Asif and Shoaib Akhtar, both got like chucked out of the squad because of that Nandrolone case right before the Champions Trophy. And then no single Asian team made it to the semis. So a very anticlimactic tournament that way, if you think about it.
No, it's a very weird tournament. You know, I think we've had a lot of interesting games and interesting narratives. I don't know how many interesting tournaments we have had. And that was another one where you kind of look back on it and you're like, it now makes more sense in the history of Australian, well, of international cricket, because Australia needed to win a trophy. But there's so many of these things that like for instance, when the West Indies won, it's a great story. And I know we're going to do another podcast on it at one stage, but you look at it and you're like, they didn't win an ICC trophy from 1979 until 2004. And the team they won it with would have lost by an innings to some of the other West Indies sides. So how do you, and like when we say, oh, South Africa are chokers. They've actually won this tournament and we just don't count it. So it really shows how much it doesn't matter at times.
Yeah, no, you mentioned the 2004 tournament. It's one of my favorite memories of cricket, right? Like, I remember this is probably the first ICC Champions Trophy that had some sort of marketing behind it, I feel, because we knew it was coming, right? Before that, we never even knew. And
the other ones they arrived, didn't they? And you were like, wait, our country's where?
This one had a really nice little theme song as well, I remember.
And it's also worth saying that back in those days, we had a lot of tri-series, quadrangular series, even pentangular perhaps at times.
Yeah.
And so when we heard of the Champions Trophy, I think to a lot of the word champion had been used in other tournaments before. And, you know, Kerry Packer had his tournaments for a long period of time. You had all the Sharjah stuff. You had the Kenya stuff, I think, even around that period as well. And so for a lot of us growing up, we were just like, oh, it's just one of them. And it's only when you start to, oh, wait a minute, everyone's playing, that you realize what it is.
Yeah, the Sharjah Cup, the Nehru Cup, the Australasia Cup. The Asian versus African 11 games. Remember those?
We had lots of weird, cool stuff. And again, as you said, they weren't like World Cups were huge. You would have about a month sweeping into a World Cup. The Champions Trophies didn't have any of that until we get to about 2004. And then you get, three big Champions Trophies in a row, maybe four, before it all falls away again.
Yeah, and you know, the whole growing the game narrative was also present at the 2004 editions, because you had 16 teams compete in that one. And the West Indies, after getting their ass handed to them in England by England throughout the English summer, actually beat them in that final where Courtney Brown and Ian Bradshaw pulled off that 8th wicket heist. And everyone remembers those two names because of that game. And it's one of the more memorable Champions Trophies that is etched in everyone's memories. I feel like, you know, when years from now, right? Like 100 years from now, when we'll be playing the 15th edition of the Champions Trophy, people will look back at the 2004 one really fondly.
Probably, but it was a terrible tournament. Like it was a dreadful tournament. England had played so much cricket. It was played at the end of September. It was cold. It was wet. It ended up having a great final, but it might not have if West Indies had just collapsed normally. It would have also had a terrible final. So I think it's probably, as you said before, it was the first tournament that was kind of signposted and we were aware of and marketed correctly.
Had a song.
Yeah. But I would assume, though, that outside of Asia, not everyone would have had it. That would, I reckon even in 2004, it's probably just before you get, maybe not. But I'm not sure that that is a Champions Trophy where all the games would have been shown in each country. So countries like Australia and New Zealand and South Africa probably aren't getting every single game of that tournament at that stage, because it just wasn't seen like a World Cup. It wasn't seen at that level, right? So it's kind of flirting with seriousness. And you got 2004, 2006, 2008, 2010. Am I getting the years right?
I think 2006, 2009, and then 13.
2009, sorry, you're right.
Yeah, so they had a 3-year gap between 6 and 9, and then a 4-year gap between 9 and 13.
Don't do that to yourself, Bayram. Don't do that to yourself. It's too much.
And then most recently, 8-year gap. 8-year gap is when it gets really comical, doesn't it?
Well, 8-year gap just tells you that they didn't want to play it, and they suddenly realized they had 3 weeks spare, and they put it back in. But yeah, I think that 2004, 2006, 2009 period, I think at that stage, us as cricket fans had accepted it and it was part of our calendar. And then what happens is, of course, just as it gets to the point where you're just like, oh, this might work, T20 cricket comes in and it makes it even less important. So we have what? 2007, 2009, 2010, 2012 T20 World Cups, right?
Yep.
Like, how are you supposed to, like, have the Champions Trophy when you got all that going on?
Absolutely. And I mean, we'll come to the future of the Champions Trophy in a bit, but I feel like it would be a disservice to this podcast if we don't talk about the 2017 edition, because it probably was the best one, all things considered. I know there was a lot of rain, and rain practically knocked Australia out. But as far as the narratives, the narratives and the arcs are concerned, right? If you take all of that into context, Pakistan get drubbed by India in the first game, and they are the 8th-ranked nation. If you remember, they did not play a series in the build-up to that tournament just so that they could play it, right? They didn't want to risk losing that series and get knocked out from the top 8 teams. So Pakistan did that. They come in as an 8th-ranked side. No one's giving them a shot. And then after, you know, completely getting obliterated by India, they defeat South Africa and then Sri Lanka in a nail-biter. England, who are red-hot favourites on that tired track in Sophia Gardens, and then they completely, you know, annihilate India in the final. And that gave us one of the greatest stories in contemporary or modern-day cricket, you could say.
I think the Pakistan story is great, but you also have the fact that it's an India-Pakistan final. You have the fact that India was playing really good. You had the ridiculousness of what happens to Australia. Like, I think that is actually part of the narrative of that tournament. And if I'm not mistaken, is that also when David Warner took a swing at Joe Root? Might have been in that tournament as well.
Was it that or was it the 2013 one? Might have been.
I don't know. I know I was covering a Champions Trophy in England, and I was like, there were two Australian journalists in the country, and suddenly I was turned into a news journalist for a week, which was a pain in the ass. But no, you might be right. I can't even remember now. But so you had the Australian narrative of the washouts, and you had England, right? Like. Mm. Everyone, I was the only person taking the English ODI team seriously. I was like, guys, this is coming. Like, look at what they're doing. This is incredible. They're changing the game. Everyone on Twitter, you're an idiot. You're wrong. Stop talking up about England, blah, blah, blah. They lose in that game. It just accentuates. So you have the home side who's playing this radical style of cricket. So it was actually, all things considered, probably the best Champions Trophy we've ever had. But it was also the last Champions Trophy we've ever had, because that's what they said.
Or we thought. Yeah.
They also said that in 2013, and there have been other times as well. But it was going to be it. That was the final swan song, right? Like, it just tells you everything about the Champions Trophy, that after we played a great edition, everyone was like, okay, that's it for us. We'll see you we won't see you next year. We'll never see you never again.
Yeah, you know, that particular tournament 2017 had so many more narratives, like the whinging by Morgan after the semi-final, which he had a point, right? I'm not saying he didn't have a point, but it was just ill-timed, I suppose, because you are the home team.
There was a lot of thing of like, oh, the ICC wanted an India-Pakistan final and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, guys, it was a worn pitch already, right? Yeah. If you want to know what the problem is, it's that, and we're seeing it in Pakistan for this Champions Trophy, if there's only 2 or 3 wickets that you can use for major televised cricket games, and once they get used over a period of time, if you try and reuse them, they're slow, but even if you bring them back up, they get slower and worse. And so that was probably the first tournament where we really understood that. Where cricket really started to listen to the curators and everything, because the curators had told them that that was going to happen, right? And so now we understand a little bit more. It's why we'll probably end up with synthetic wickets one day for major events, is because of this, so that you can actually make the wicket the way that you want it to be. But yeah, it was hilarious hearing England do that when it was like, I don't know, fucker Zaman seemed to be fine on that wicket, guys.
Yeah, and I mean, it's crazy to think that we got New York after that entire episode, right? So, also, I've just remembered one more thing. This, or the 2017 edition of the Champions Trophy, might be the only time that Bangladesh have made the semis of an ICC event. Has it ever happened, other than that?
Yes, because they made the quarterfinals in 2015 World Cup, didn't they?
Yeah, but it wasn't the semis though, right?
No, that's what I'm saying. So that's as high as they've ever got off the top of my head. Yeah. I have to go back and check.
Yeah. Plus, like, just...
it depends on where you depends on how highly you rank the Asia Cup.
I feel like the Asia Cup is even worse than those quadrangulars that you were talking about and the pentangulars, right? But, you know, just an ode to the randomness was that a bunch of complete random superstars emerged for Pakistan in that tournament. Fakhar Zaman was an injury replacement, and he goes on and scores consistent runs and building up to that final versus India where he's out off a no ball, and then he scores that ton, which was one for the ages. Hasan Ali was taking wickets left, right and center, and I can't remember him taking left, right and center for the remainder of his career thereon, right? Like, it never happened again. So Azhar Ali was a part of that squad, right? The test player. He won
not
that
just
Champions
a part
trophy.
Of that squad. He made runs in the final, right?
Like, and, I mean, and in another game. I think the semi as well.
I think he made runs in a couple of games,
Yeah, so that was insane. And yeah, I mean, I feel like in Champions Trophy lore, that is probably the most or the brightest chapter, perhaps. But anyway, you mentioned how
but
this...
what is even the second brightest chapter? Do you know what I'm... Like, not taking a piss out
Brown
of the Champions
Trophy.
Brown and
Bradshaw? Has to be Brown and Bradshaw.
Yes, but that's a game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you're looking at a tournament impact, like, the Pakistan story in that one tournament was massive. And I'm not sure we've ever seen anything like that before. Like, it just... I'm not sure we've ever had a Champions Trophy that worked before. Okay. As a cricket journalist, I would travel up to 200 days a year, and I loved every part of it, except for one, this little evil pin here, because I needed this to change my SIM card. And when you travel in cricket, you're quite often going from country to country. Don't get me started on how much this would annoy me in the West Indies, but even going from New Zealand to Australia, this pin was the worst. Well, with the Sally eSIM, they sort all of that out for you. They have an eSIM app that you install once, it's cheap, and it works in more than 160 countries around the world. No more turning up at an airport and lining up for a local SIM, trying to give over your passport and your details, and you just want to get in a taxi and go where you're going. No, Sally make it so much easier. You just download the app before you travel and you decide what kind of plan you actually need. Oh, and if you do that with our code, GOODAREAS, or one word, you get an exclusive 15% discount on Sally eSIM data plans. So go right now and download the Sally app and use the code GOODAREAS, or one word, at checkout and travel like a pro with Sally.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I mean, you've mentioned like three times already that cricket has tried to get rid of this tournament plenty of times. After 2006, they were like, yeah, this is the last one. After 2013, they were like, this one's the last one for sure. And after 2017, when they were like, yep, that's it. We're not going to have it again. It's final. And yet, here we are currently, you know, experiencing another edition. So
8 years on, just a mere 8 years.
Yeah. It's like a cockroach in a nuclear war, right?
Yeah.
Or a nuclear meltdown. Because it somehow managed to survive, which brings me to the million-dollar question. Will there be another Champions Trophy after this one, Jared?
Yes.
How many? Give me a number.
I don't know how many. My guess is they will probably try and bring in some sort of a T20 version of this. So the Champions Trophy will pivot to T20 cricket. I think the perfect... I'm not sure the ICC are directly looking at this, but I think the perfect structure for cricket is one tournament a year. Forget the World Test Championship for a moment, because that is what it is. But for the two, you have a 50-over World Cup every 4 years. You have a T20 World Cup every 4 years, shock horror. You have a Champions Trophy T20 tournament, right? And then you have the Olympics. I think that is the perfect situation for men's cricket. And then you do the exact same thing for women's cricket, right? And you can decide whether you want a Champions Trophy, but let's imagine one day women's cricket will get to that level and be able to have a Champions Trophy as well. That for me is absolutely perfect, because it means that you have three tournaments. I'll get my numbers right here. You have three tournaments that the ICC make money off, and one tournament that should drive new fans in the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
Then the Champions Trophy has a reason to exist again. There is no reason for it. We were talking about the last 50-over World Cup being potentially the final time we ever have a 50-over World Cup. And we're already at another 50-over tournament, right? Like, all those conversations about whether ODI cricket was going to die, whether they were going to get rid of the 50-over World Cup forever, whether the 50-over World Cup will be the major tournament or the T20, all that sort of stuff. And it's just like, wait, guys, we'll finish our conversation. We've just got this other tournament to play, which none of you have prepared for.
Yeah, I mean, you've given us some reasons why the Champions Trophy will continue to exist. And frankly speaking, it's existed even when there was no reason for it to exist. So of course now there's a better chance, I suppose. So just to kind of end this podcast, there's one question that I really need to ask you. How fond are you of the White Jackets?
I don't want to oversell this, but they are my favorite thing of the Champions Trophy.
Yeah, same.
Other than, like, I love going to events and getting freebies. So I think I've got like a Champions Trophy water bottle in my house, and I've got a charging thing. I think I might have shown you that on another one. I think it's on my desk. There you go. What's this one? The 2017, what were they? Those little mobile phone charging banks. So I'm a big fan of random free stuff that I get when I go to these events. But no, for me, the White Jackets is the funniest thing for two reasons. One, a couple of years ago, KP put a tweet out going, cricket needs something like the Green Jackets in golf, right? And it allowed me to tweet back going, well, we have the Champions Trophy, which has White Jackets, and also you get a green jacket if you play for South Africa, which is still one of my most biting and unfair tweets. But also because it kind of shows what they were trying to do with this thing. And it hasn't worked. Like, I don't think the majority of cricket fans know about the White Coats, White Jackets, whatever you want to call them now. And I think it was Stephen Finn on the BBC the other day who recorded a story about how in 2013, everyone had to be fitted for these White Jackets. So there is somewhere out there, since when was the first year? Was it 2009 was the first year of the White Jackets? Yeah.
Yes.
So
the second time Australia won it, they wore those or donned those White Jackets.
So 2009, 2013, 2017, and now 2025, there are somewhere in this world, right? Around 80 to 100 losers White Jackets.
Yeah.
Where are those White Jackets? How can I buy them on eBay? I've never wanted anything more than a losers champion trophy White Jacket. I think it would be the absolute greatest thing of all time.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing of the Champions Trophy as well. And I remember after the 2017 edition, one of my friends who lives in Reading, in fact, the guy who picked me up from that station, the gas station that you dropped me off when you were going to pick your parents up, right? He hosted Azhar Ali at his place and he got to wear that white jacket. And
that's a cool thing, isn't it?
I am proper jealous of him. And Azhar was like, this is the entire nation's white jacket. So please, please wear it. When he was like, no, dude, you won this. I can't wear it. He was like, no, go for it.
That's very different than when a bunch of Australian fans were getting their photos taken with the 2003 World Cup. I've still got that photo of, I think there's a photo of me with the 2003 World Cup. And my mate took his photo. And as he did, he just pulled the World Cup slightly too close. And Andrew Simons just clutched it back. And that was kind of the end of the photo shoot at that point. It's one of those things that we've obviously taken from another sport. We haven't done very well. Everything around this Champions Trophy should be aimed at that thing. It's the thing that actually defines it. But I think it tells you everything about the Champions Trophy. The one thing that kind of us as cricket fans kind of enjoy and wait for and everything else, the vast majority of the people in the world don't know anything about it. And if you do work for the ICC or have been involved in any of these events, and you can get me one of the losers white jackets, me and Bayram, we will record in the losers white jackets from this year, from 2009, from 2013. They can't just burn them, can they? Like, something has to happen to these things. They should be in Lords.
We can even maybe sign a contract in which twice every month we have to wear the white jackets to one of our podcasts. It's negotiable, guys. We'll definitely work something out over here. So please, if you have a link or a fix, hook us up. So clearly Jared and I are major fans or big time fans of the White Jackets. You tell us if you like them or not in the comment section below. And also, if you're feeling really honest, let us know if you didn't know about them at all, because that might also be possible. But anyway, that kind of wraps up this episode of the Footmarks podcast on the Champions Trophy and its randomness and everything. And yeah, just a quick reminder to you guys, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage, and that can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. We'll see you soon enough on another show. Might be a live, might be a quick picks, might be a Footmarks. But that's all for today, guys. Have a good one and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes.
We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.